The Voices of Search podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything podcast network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com. Welcome to the Voices of Search podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything podcast network. Ready to expedite your company's organic growth efforts? Sit back, relax, and get ready for your daily dose of search engine optimization wisdom. Here's today's host of the Voices of Search podcast, Jordan Cooney.
Hello, SEOs. My name is Jordan Cooney from Previsible. Joining me is Cameron Gordon, who is the SEO manager at Rack Room Shoes, which has proudly paired consumers with their favorite shoes for over 100 years. Yesterday, Cameron and I talked about SEO best practices within AI and e-commerce. Today, we're going to continue our conversation by discussing blurring the lines between search intent and optimization.
And this podcast is also sponsored by Ahrefs. What if I told you that you could monitor your website's SEO health, backlinks, and organic rankings at no cost? Sounds too good to be true? Well, it's not, because my friends at Ahrefs just launched Ahrefs Webmaster Tools. Ahrefs' new Webmaster Tools product quickly helps you improve your site's visibility by pointing solutions to over 100 technical issues that might be holding your search performance down. Plus, AWT monitors for backlinks so you'll know the most linked to pages and how those links are affecting your rankings. And AWT shares what keywords your website ranks for and compares how you stack up against competitors for key metrics like search volume, keyword difficulty, and traffic value. Look, monitoring your website used to require multiple expensive tools. And now, thanks to Ahrefs, that's not the case anymore, because AWT will help you monitor your SEO health, backlinks, and keywords for free. And no, it's not one of those 14-day free trial offers. It's a powerful site audit tool that will keep working for you for free. So check out Ahrefs Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/AWT. That's ahrefs.com/AWT.
Okay, here's my conversation with Cameron Gordon, the SEO manager at Rack Room Shoes. Cameron, welcome back to the Voices of Search podcast.
Hey, Jordan. Long time no talk.
Yeah. So day two here, we're going to get into something that I think is really fascinating perspective, which is this connection between search intent and optimization and what these components really mean to the practice of SEO. And so as we cover this today, let's explain to our listeners quickly what we mean by search intent and what we mean by optimization. What are these two aspects of SEO and how are we describing them in this conversation?
Yeah, you may have a different interpretation than I do, but my definition for search intent is, you know, when someone is searching for a specific query, they may not, you know, search engines may not understand exactly what this person is actually wanting to find. So they could, for example, search, I'm going to probably use this again, but men's running shoes. Are they looking to purchase or are they looking for more information about men's running shoes? So what's the intent behind the search? And then the optimization side of it is understanding what that intent is and catering your content around that intent and your overall goal for your website.
Right. Yeah. I'm in alignment. And I definitely believe search intent is a definition, right? It's this definition of what is a user trying to do or accomplish. Whereas the optimization is this kind of, let's call it, for the lack of better terminology, the artwork of refining that so that you're finding that person in their intent, in their desire, right?
Yep.
Now, I'm going to start off with a spicy question right off the bat here, right? Can a single keyword, can a term that someone searches have multiple intents?
Yes. First and foremost, yes. And I'm actually glad that you asked this question because I was thinking about it earlier. Mixed intent or mixed content as well. So that same example I just used, men's running shoes. If you go into an incognito window and you search for that, what you're going to find is a majority of the stuff is going to be websites like Adidas, Nike, New Balance, and their product listing pages, first and foremost. But scroll down a little bit further, and you actually get blog posts, you know, top running shoes for men, you know, best six running shoes 2023. So even Google itself is not entirely sure what your intent is. Like, is your intent to purchase or is it to learn something? So my answer is unequivocally yes.
And so just digging in further here, because I think this is such a fascinating conversation around it with respect to e-commerce, because e-commerce is so relatable to all of us, whether we're SEOs or not. Like, we all experience this in our everyday use of the internet to some extent. And so if a single keyword can have multiple intents, and this is where it gets spicy, is Google just playing games with us in terms of both what SEOs are trying to accomplish, but also from the consumer side? Like, are they just like manipulating us and tricking us into believing that they're giving us what we need when we are doing these searches?
Oh, well, now you're coming full circle. I don't know. This is getting a little too deep for me. I don't know. I'm always at the point that, you know, Google is master of all and master of none.
Well said.
Yeah, it's a tough question. I think if you look back at what John, is it Mueller or Miller? I can never pronounce his name correctly. Mueller. What he said about a lot of this stuff is, it's as long as your content is helpful specifically, then, you know, you don't really have anything to worry about as far as ranking and that sort of thing. But it begs the question, well, who's determining what's helpful and what's not? Is it Google or is it, you know, me, the content creator? So it's a tough balance.
Yeah.
I honestly think that you just kind of do what you can. You take what you learn. You can use different examples. You can do competitor research and all this sort of stuff and try and follow exactly what Google's guidelines have, which is develop content for people first.
Right. Yeah. I agree that it's about people first, but I do find it somewhat amusing that you can, you know, search something three times and get three completely different result sets, right? And so I'm waiting for that Peanuts cartoon to come out with just like, you know, the same search happening three times and the outcome being radically different every single time and somewhat frustrating. And as we continue to explore this optimization game, I think one of the things that is really interesting about search intent is that we have this like fascination, this desire to be right about what the intent is and to know the intent, right? Like that it's a known commodity. It's something that we can know as SEOs or as web developers or as writers of content or as the architects of the design of a page, that we know the intent, right? How true is that, Cameron? Like, is it really true that we can know the intent, or are we just like making really good educated guesses? Or how should we think about that part of the effort before we go into the optimization?
It's a very good question, a good way to think about it. I think it's difficult to label either one as the true answer, because my interpretation or my best practice is to always test things, test and learn. I'm not going to ever say that, oh, I know this is going to work out 100% this way every single time. And that's why I like to test things to further understand, all right, is this actually the intent that this person was after? So let's say we are trying to determine, you know, what type of content should we focus on, prioritize for this broad query like men's running shoes? Should we focus on a PLP or should it be a blog post around, you know, top running shoes or something like that? I might A/B test it. I might create both, see which one is performing better. But because I'm an e-commerce website, my first and foremost goal is selling product. And that to me already kind of answers my question. I need to put the PLP first. This is more than likely to get what we want, which is to drive conversions. But you never know, having that blog up might also get us additional traffic that we weren't potentially going after initially.
I'm with you. And I think this is where search intent gets largely misconstrued and a lot of concepts in the SEO space get slapped into it that are somewhat misleading, right? Let's take topic clustering or building a bunch of like supportive content to make your PLP work better. Well, those supportive pieces of content aren't actually addressing a transactional behavior or a consumer, a buyer like type behavior. And so the reality is that we get kind of caught up in terms of what we're using something for and the search intent that content is intended for. And I think it's a real big challenge that we have today as SEOs is to really understand how and where we make investments and how we coach and manage our businesses to make good decisions around that, right? Because if we're going to go build a bunch of editorial listicle pages, well, that serves a very different shopper, buyer, or intent than a PLP, which is just a product page, and the best product pages out there are all battling for product names and product positioning, right? Anyway, that's a huge topic to uncover. Probably need like a whole like series of episodes to really unpack it properly. I think we got a good view on search intent, but let's talk a little bit about optimization. When and where optimization is best suited for an investment in time from the SEO?
Yeah. I will completely agree with everything you said as well already. As far as optimizing and where to do it, the first step is to identify that search intent and kind of what your target audience is. And then do you already have content that meets that intent? So, all right, we have a keyword, we have an understanding of the intent we think, and this is the content we think we should be optimizing. So we say it's going to be a PLP. We want it to turn out to be transactions and whatnot. What are the different things that we can try and do to actually optimize the content that we have on the page already? First, understanding, you know, I think Ahrefs, they mentioned the three C's of content, or the three C's of content intent or search intent, you know, content type, content format, and content angle. The content type we already have, and it's not a blog post, it's not a video, it's a product landing page or product listing page. The content format is going to be a little bit different. You know, usually it only applies to blogs and that sort of thing, but I actually kind of disagree, because the format of a product listing page is really important. You can't just have a product page which has just a list of products and no imagery. Images are huge. You need to have high quality images that people can browse and know exactly, all right, this is exactly what I was looking for. You need to personalize it a little bit more as well. So format can actually be a big impact to product listing pages. And then the content angle for me is, you know, what's the differentiator? What is unique about your content page that you can provide to users that others don't have?
Time for a 1 minute break to hear from our sponsor, Previsible. So you're looking for SEO help, and you got a couple of options. You could start replying to spam from agencies that claim they can get you to rank number one on Google. You can pay an hourly rate for a consultant who will inevitably nickel and dime you with hourly charges. Or you can work with a cookie cutter agency to quickly launch a strategy-less project with low success rate. None of those sound very good, now do they? Well, that's where Previsible's integrated consulting model comes in. Previsible draws from a collective 40 years of SEO and digital marketing experience to unlock your organic growth opportunities. They build custom solutions that combine strategy, technical expertise, content, and reporting to effectively operationalize SEO for your business. Previsible's four-stage approach ensures that your SEO programs thrive by starting off with a strategy-first approach. Then they support you in your efforts to create quality content, help you identify technical issues, and most importantly, they'll work with your cross-functional teams to integrate your SEO strategies to make sure that your SEO budget actually drives results, not just your agency's bottom line. So join brands like Yelp, eBay, Canva, Atlassian, Square, all who rely on the SEO consultants at Previsible. For more information, go to previsible.io. That's Previsible, previsible.io.
Yeah, that last piece in terms of optimization, I think, is what most of us miss, right? Is that angle or that unique distinction of what makes your page better or more valuable than everybody else is just one of the hardest things. And in e-commerce, I think it's really tough, right? Because oftentimes we're just so focused on price, and that always can't be the differentiator. So Cameron, how do you guys think about that differentiator at Rack Room in this e-commerce ecosystem?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Price is always going to be top of mind, but that can't always be the main driver. So different differentiators when it comes to me as a consumer is, how easy is it to even purchase? How many steps does it take to buy? So I think Amazon has basically almost perfected this to an extent. Mm-hmm. As long as you're a Prime member, even if you're not a Prime member, you can add to cart and buy with one click if you really need to.
Right.
The other thing is the attributes of a product or attributes of your business specifically. Do you have something that another business doesn't have? For instance, if you're only an online marketplace, you don't have the luxury of someone coming into a store and potentially working with customer service, asking questions, maybe handling returns or shipping or anything like that as well. So being able to play up your differentiators is how you can make things a little bit easier on yourself as well. Now, how you communicate that is a whole different ballgame, but it's something I'd be happy to talk about again.
I mean, one of the interesting things you're bringing up here, Cameron, right, is that a lot of these areas where we're talking about differentiators, they really don't have anything to do with SEO strategy. Some of them have to do with business strategy, like how your company wants to do things or not do things. Some of them have to do with kind of, you know, maybe online strategies, like how you convert or how you drive consumers through a funnel, like a purchase funnel, for example. Again, not necessarily an SEO driver, right? Like, I mean, your shopping cart doesn't get crawled by Google. It gets used by customers, right? So I'm kind of curious how you take that, this concept of understanding the intentionality of a consumer or a user, all the way to this optimization effort, back to these really large concepts of business strategy, web strategy, conversion strategy, site development efforts. Like, how do you connect those things so that you can ultimately drive the best possible outcomes for the business?
Collaboration is number one. Collaboration with different team members, different departments is huge. You have to be able to communicate, and you have to also be able to kind of sell your SEO ideas as well to higher ups and get them to buy into what you're talking about. One thing I think, if I'm going to get into the nitty gritty of it, if I'm trying to bring this back into an SEO landscape, the one area where I can have some impact in regards to search intent and trying to drive someone to actually click on my search result is in title tags and meta descriptions. That's kind of my one spot where I can say, all right, I can't really control some of this other stuff. If we do offer buy online, pick up in store, it's something that I can at least communicate here if I don't communicate it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So from an SEO perspective, you can implement some of these benefits into the search, but you just got to make sure that you're collaborating with all your team members and understand what you do have.
That's right. Yeah. No question. I think collaboration is at the core of making this really work. And staying true to this search intent to optimization blurriness, I think that this is where it gets very fascinating to influence the business practices or the site architecture or site development, is in looking at the data between these two zones. So how have you leveraged data or even better yet, examples of doing great search intent research or knowledge or sharing of information or optimization tasks or optimization plans or well-executed optimizations? How have you used that data and insight to go back and influence those bigger macro areas?
Great question. So we've done quite a bit of talking about, you know, what we do from an internal perspective, but we also don't talk about much of competitor research. So one of the things that I love to do is, if I'm ever asked a question of like, oh, well, you know, how do we get to the top ranking, you know, search result for this? I'll just say, well, do a quick search. You know, what do you see? What are the common themes that you're seeing in those top three, top five results? Does it have to do with price? Does it have to do with naming conventions? Does it have to do with maybe benefits around brick and mortar, local listings, something that we may or may not have? And then you bring that up in either a, you know, presentation, another meeting with collaborators, and say, hey, this is all the stuff that we currently have. This is all the stuff that our competitors currently have. And you compare the two and say, what are they doing differently that we're not doing? Or what are we doing that is both the same? And where can we be doing a little bit better? Bringing examples like that is probably the most effective way to kind of open up the eyes of our team members to say, all right, yeah, it seems they're doing something right over here that we haven't tried before. Maybe we should look into doing that. But how do we make it work for us? How do we make it different and unique for our business versus theirs? Because we don't want to be just copying them. You need to find a way to make it original.
100%. You're bringing up a really solid point here. And what data do you have, or what experiences do we use to help inform this connection between optimization and search intent?
Yeah. So If you didn't know, almost half of retail users actually head to the search bar when they're going to a website. And it just showcases that, hey, I'm not really going to focus on what you have on your homepage or anything. I'm just going to go straight for your search and figure out, do you have what I want? Users have become much more, I don't want to say lazy, but they've come with higher expectations that if you don't have what I want immediately, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Right.
And then we're seeing that in everyday, you know, uses of our website, other people's website. It's because probably Google and Amazon, for the most part, they're searching for something and within milliseconds, they can have what's most relevant to what they're looking for.
Yeah. And it really opens the door around how we can continue to explore optimizations and leveraging the ever-changing needs of consumers and their search intent. And it's really fascinating that even though e-commerce as a whole has evolved quite a bit over the last, you know, two decades, that consumers, if they're not finding what they need, they're going to go and either go back to where they were, or they're going to go into your site and use a search functionality to refine and find what they want. And that's a great place for us to end this episode of the Voice of Search podcast. Thank you to Cameron Gordon, SEO manager at Rack Room, for joining us. If you'd like to connect with Cameron, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or visit his company website, rackroomshoes.com.
Okay, thanks to Jordan Cooney, the founder of Previsible. If you'd like to get in touch with Jordan, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter. His handle is JT Cooney, that's JTKOENE. Or you can visit his company's website, which is previsible.io. That's previsible.io.
And a special thanks to Previsible for sponsoring this podcast. If you're looking for support with all of your SEO needs, Previsible's integrated consulting model is there for you. They draw on a collective 40 years of SEO and digital marketing experience to help you unlock your organic search and growth opportunities. So join brands like Yelp, eBay, Canva, Atlassian, and Square, all who rely on SEO consultants at Previsible. For more information, go to previsible.io. That's previsible.io. And a special thanks to Ahrefs for sponsoring this podcast. Monitoring your website used to require multiple expensive tools, but that's not the case anymore, thanks to Ahrefs, because they just launched their Ahrefs Webmaster Tools product, which monitors your SEO health, helps you keep track of your backlinks, and gives you the insight into what keywords are performing for free. So check out Ahrefs Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/AWT. That's Ahrefs, ahrefs.com/AWT.
Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to voicesofsearch.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even send us your topic suggestions or your marketing questions, which we'll answer live on our show. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is Voices of Search on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or you can contact me directly. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet, and you want a daily stream of SEO and content marketing insights in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day during the work week. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, remember, the answers are always in the data.